Good evening. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to present a lesson to you this evening. And again, I apologize for the date, 12/19, it's the 16th. My mind was preoccupied with other matters. But again, it's a privilege to stand before you and proclaim God's Word. And this evening, what we are going to look at are attitudes of the believer. This morning, we talked about the preeminence of Jesus, where He's the head of the church, and He's the only one we should listen to. Now we are going to go into an area that concerns the way we as believers should be conducting ourselves. So with that, we're going to look at what a believer should believe on in Christ. We're also going to look at what is a believer's attitude towards prayer? What is the attitude of the Christian with respect to abiding in Christ? What type of attitude a Christian should have in his walk with Christ? What is the attitude of a Christian when he takes from Christ? What is the attitude of a Christian who stands with Christ? And finally, what is the attitude of the believer who is watching for Christ? These seven areas of what I'm going to be focusing on is only a small segment of what our attitude should be. It only points out some things. But our attitude should be encompassing all the fruits of the Spirit, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we listen to the commandments of the Lord, not just the ones we pick and choose to satisfy ourselves, but all of the commandments. If you're a Christian, you should be a Christian 120% of your life, no matter what it's going to cost you, no matter what it's, how it's going to affect you, because we're all soldiers in Christ's army. And we have basically a mission, and that is to bring the gospel to others. The gospel was shared in the first century by dedicated men, and they were apostles, who spread the word of God throughout the world at that time. We have that responsibility too, to seek out the lost and convey the message of the cross so that they may have the opportunity, as you and I have, to come to the Lord. But we as Christians should be developing certain attitudes towards basically these seven and others. We read this morning about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, they should be qualities in your life that you should be building up and growing as a Christian. We also looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Now, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence in your moral excellence, knowledge, and your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the values we should have as a Christian should be growing in these areas. Growing our love for each other, growing in the love for God, growing in the joy we have as Christians, growing in the peace we have with each other, the peace we have knowing that there's a better place we're going to. Growing in patience, and that's an area that I got to work on. Patience is something that we should all be seeking and applying to our lives. Growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness. We could grow in faithfulness by our dedication to our God, by looking at His Word, applying those things to our lives so that we can be better Christians. We could apply the abilities we have to serve and worship God. Gentleness, another area that Christians should be known for, and self-control. Sometimes we have to walk away from a situation if you're going to lose control. But you know yourselves. And it's best to be in full control at all times. Because the world is looking at each one of us and they'll say, look at that Christian. He's a Christian and look, he's out of control. Now, the Christian values that Peter says we should grow with, a faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. The fruits in the Spirit and the Christian values are virtues that we should have. And we'd be growing in them. Growing to the point where someone could look at your life and say, look, he's a Christian. And we have to respect him for that. When I was in the construction field, a lot of people knew I was a Christian. And I used to walk out on meetings when there were a lot of cussing and everything else. After a while, they realized if they wanted something done with my organization, they have to clean up their act and act professionally. And they did. And they know. And this is the way we as Christians should project out to the world. We should have love. We should have kindness, we should have patience, self-control, And the knowledge we have comes from the Bible. What's our attitude towards these? How do we develop these virtues? How do we put them into practice, which is very important? You could be book knowledge about things, but yet when it comes to making application, where are you? Do you reflect Christ dwelling in you? Because he is, because you're a Christian. But yet, when you go out in the world and you project something that's unchristian-like, there's people going to point out and say, look, if that's Christian, I don't want to be any part of that. And we can't show something negative to the world. Because when we were baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. He removed our sins. He took away those sins. And we now serve him. In the book of Romans, in chapter 6, when we were baptized into Christ, we became a slave to righteousness, as Paul puts it. Where are you today in your life? Are you a slave to Christ? By making sure that he is the master and we're his to do what he wills. And one of the things that Christ wants you and I to do is bring others to him so that others may have that opportunity. And as Christians, our attitude towards the fruit of the Spirit and these Christian values should be growing in our lives. They should reflect upon our lives so that others can see Christ in us. When we believe on Christ, that's the secret of our Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Most of the verses I use come from the New American Standard. So, just to clarify that, I like the New American Standard because it's easier for me to understand that. But anyway, when you look at what the writer said in the 11th chapter, we have to have the faith. We have to believe in the God that Jesus Christ came down here on earth for a purpose to redeem us. And if we don't have this faith, we can't please God. But yet, if we do have this faith, this belief in God, he's going to reward us. And that reward is eternal life in heaven. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said to the saints at Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So here's Paul's message to the church at Galatia. Christ lives in him. Is Christ living in you? The life which he lived in the flesh is the same life that you and I live in the flesh. But yet if we believe in this Jesus, who is the Son of God, and he gave himself up for you and I, and why? Because he loved us. So that's the secret of a Christian life. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. This is about Paul and his life. We read in verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Now this is Paul's life after he was converted. And yet he stands up for Christ no matter what the cost. He says in verse 24, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers amongst false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, though many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from these external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. So Paul had a lot on his plate. Did he deviate from worshiping and serving the Lord? No. He stood faithful to his Lord. Example that we have. We see some critical lessons in this illustration of Paul. And as summarized, he had faith. He had humility. Submission. He did God's will, not his own. He also had a dependence on the Lord. And like you and I, we depend on God for all we have. And also he was unselfish. He went out, no matter what the cost to him was, to proclaim God's word. And these virtues characterize all who learn to be content. I picked this from Bond's notes, and he was spot on Paul's life. Now, does this reflect your life? Does this reflect your attitude as believing on Christ? Because that's the secret to our Christian life. What about prayer? Prayer to Christ is the stay of a Christian's life. We communicate with each other to ask for something. You communicate to people in the grocery store as far as what you want. We communicate by talking. How about talking to God? What is expected from you and I? He's our Father. So we go approach God through Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Talk to God, communicate with Him. When we have troubles in our lives, when we have temptations that it's very difficult to deal with, we have trials in our lives, go to God in prayer. Ask Him to provide the comfort, provide the means necessary to escape sin, but also give Him thanks for all that He does for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Communicate to God through Christ Jesus. It's a way we can talk to God. If you don't use this avenue of prayer now, what's going to happen when you go to heaven? and you're there in the in God's presence, are you going to just fall over, or are you just going to praise Him, glorify Him? And we do that now today by praying to Him. To abide in Christ is the strength of the Christian life. Abiding in Christ. We talked a little bit about abiding this morning. In John chapter 15, in verse 4, thank you, Bill, for reading that lengthy parable about the vine and the branches. In verse 4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." We can't do this on our own. We need Christ in our lives to lead us, to be our example, to provide us a means of guiding us in our Christian walk of life. If we look at, and I'm not going to reread the parable, but when you look at the parable of the vine and the branches, we see that there's three distinguishing marks of a true branch. One is, they bear fruit. And how do you bear fruit? Well, you have the support of the vine. We also see that they abide, or they continue or remain in Christ's love. He loves us so much that He died for us. I know when you look at, when I was in the service, and one of the things they taught us is you stand up for your brother in arms, even if it means you sacrificing yourself. That's a hard concept sometimes to swallow, but yet you do that for the betterment of the unit, whatever you're in. If we abide in Christ's love, He's going to abide in us, and He's going to guide us through our life. And the third point is, they operate in full cooperation with the source of life. And the source of life is Christ Jesus. Keeping His commandments by following the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who always obeyed the Father. So when we study Jesus' life, He didn't back talk to God. What He said was, if it's your will, it will be done. And that's the attitude of a believer, to abide in Christ so that they could be strong as they go through their Christian way of life. To walk with Christ is the shining out of a Christian, of the Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us," and this refers back to the 11th chapter. A lot of people refer to the 11th chapter of Hebrews as the Hall of Fame of faithful, of the faithful. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We should look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. We should walk with him so that people in the world will know we are Christians. And it will lead others to him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his footsteps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." So he is our example to follow. And we should follow him all the days of our life. We see in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are all in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the one hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light already shining. The one who says he is in the light yet hates his brother is in darkness until he comes. So whoever keeps his word, keeps the commandments that he set forth for us to follow, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. He abides in him or himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." Again, referring to Jesus, if you're in a situation where you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is ask yourself, we study Jesus' life, what would he do in this situation? We have to be part of the world. We have to live in it. But we're Christians to be the light so others could come to him. To take from Christ is the supply of a Christian's life. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Put Jesus first in your lives, and everything else will follow. If you don't put Jesus first in your Christian way of life, you're going to be entangled in the web of the devil. And sometimes it's going to be very difficult to escape that unless you apply yourself. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from all the first of your produce, and everything will follow. I'm speaking from experience. You put God first and your life will be grand. It'll be glorious. You won't have any worries. I know there's a lot of things on our minds. We have to provide for our families. We have to do a lot of things in the world. But the bottom line is, you put God first, everything second. In Isaiah chapter 27, verse 5, "Or let him rely on my protection. Let him make peace with me. Let him make peace with me." God's going to protect you. God's going to provide all that's necessary. He's going to supply us in our Christian way of life. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, I thank my God concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, and even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was also confirmed in you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to supply everything for you. Rely on him. A lot of times we want to rely on ourselves. We think we're doing it, but yet it's God's doing it for us. We see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So God's going to supply everything for us. Trust on him. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's not focus on material things in our lives. Let's focus on the spiritual things. And where we gain that wisdom and knowledge is in his word. Make sure you apply those things to your lives. To take from Christ is the supply of Christian life. And Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, seeing that his divine power was granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He chose you and I to be in his family. He gave us the opportunity when we were baptized into his body. We became Christians. And he expects you and I to project that Christian life that we have to others. To not only your brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to the people in the world. Okay, to stand with Christ is the staple of a Christian life. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We as Christians who serve the Lord have this awesome responsibility to understand what the Word is, so that we'll be able to defend it against anyone who puts it down, but yet to use it in such a way that people know that we are Christians and we stand for Christ. That's our job. To watch for Christ is the standing order of the Christian life. We're waiting for Jesus. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 33. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to come back. We have to be patient, as James says in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. He uses an analogy where a farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. We don't know when Jesus is going to call us. We don't know when he's going to come back, but he is going to come back. We see that 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord, day of the God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. Jesus is going to return. He went up in Acts to heaven in a cloud, and that's the way he's going to return. Are you ready to meet him? Are you prepared to meet him as a Christian who is basically a slave to righteousness, a slave to him, a soldier in his service? Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it will be. Amen. He's coming again. Are you ready? So when you consider these 7 points we looked at, as far as the attitude of a believer, we see that to believe on Christ is the secret of the Christian life. To pray to Christ is the stay of the Christian life. To abide in Christ is the strength of the Christian life. To walk as Christ is the shining out of the Christian life. To take from Christ is the supply of the Christian life. To stand with Christ is the staple of the Christian life. And finally, to watch for Christ is the standing order of a Christian life. If you're not a Christian and you want to be baptized into his family, please come up and let your intentions be known. And if you are a child of God who is struggling with certain issues, please come forward and ask for our prayers and support as we together stand and sing.